Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Roots and Roots Show with your host, Greg Rashid, bringing you history and music from the Black American diaspora. Greg and his guests' goal is to root the show's information in your psyche, providing you the roots to expand knowledge within your community. Now here's your host, Greg Rashid.
Well, I want to say good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to the program. This is Greg Rashid with another edition of the Root and Roots Show. A lot of folks that listen to the show, they listen at their convenience. They go online and listen to various sites like Facebook, iHeart. But a lot of folks listen on Sundays at 3 p.m. Mountain Time on KUHSDenver.com. Created by the one and only, the great Henry Archuleta. I want to say hi to all my friends in Colorado. I hope you enjoy the music today, because this show, and I'm going to give out the number. The number here is 563-999-3479, 563-999-3479. But I think this is a show that I really want you just to dance and have a good time and learn. You know, you always learn on this show, but to really just learn some knowledge about music you may not know about. You may, you know, learn something new about this music. And the music I'm talking about today is that we're going to have a discussion and a party, because during this pandemic, we're just going to party here. We're going to do that. And I think I got the party DJ. At least the book is, will make you want to be a DJ for the music. And I'm talking about, the name of the book is Women in Jamaican Music. The author is Heather Augustine. She's a continuing lecturer in the English department at Purdue Northwest. And she's written a number of books on Jamaican music and ska. And this book is on McFarland Press. Excellent book. I just, you know, this book, actually, I'd have to do a series of shows to really, really represent this book and what you've done. And I want to compliment you, first off, Heather, for the pioneering work you've done. And just glad that you did this and happy that you're on the show today. Well, thank you so much for doing this book.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored to be here.
I'm honored to have you. Well, thank you so much. And I want to know, first off, because one thing I didn't catch in your book, what made you just decide to really concentrate as your field, Jamaican music, be it ska, reggae, blue beat, et cetera? Where did you start the process? And when you decided, you know, what made you get into it?
Sure. Well, I mean, like most people, I just fell in love with the music. And then I think that just kind of the way I am by nature, I like to take a deep dive into the things that I really have a passion for. And so when I wanted to find more information about what was my entry point, which was ska, there wasn't anything. I mean, there weren't any books written on it. There wasn't anything. This was before the internet. That I wanted to research and discover. And so I thought, well, boy, I really have kind of my work cut out for me. Maybe I'll just go ask the artists themselves. And at that time, this was like in the mid-90s, you know, a lot of these people were still alive. And so I first started my research back then in 1995. And I just fell in love with the culture. I've been fortunate enough to have been able to travel to Kingston a few times and have been able to kind of embrace the culture even more by seeing the land and kind of, you know, eating the foods and just really immersing myself in the culture. And
right.
So, yeah, and that was kind of it. And then so it's just kind of my expression of appreciation.
And really, this book is a love song to the women, and not only women, but everyone who's connected with Jamaican music. And I want, you know, some of these artists I know because I've been in doing music and, you know, radio and TV shows for ages. But some of these folks didn't know it. One thing, one person I didn't know, and you have to talk about her first, but she's not even at the beginning of the book. It's near the end of the book. You get into the champions. I want you to tell my listeners about Sister Iggy. Because that's an important person.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for identifying that. So Sister Ignatius was a nun, hence sister. And she, her name is Margaret Davies, was her real name. So she at the age of, I think, 19, became a nun. And this was back in, you know, the 40s. I think 39 was maybe when she first became a nun at Alpha Boys School. She saw that these boys who went to Alpha Boys School, which at that time was a school for what they called wayward boys. So there were boys that maybe got into a little bit of trouble. They were truant to their, you know, normal schools. They had become some of them wards of the state, and they were sent there by the government. And so they boarded there, and they got an education. They learned a trade. So they would learn bricklaying or printmaking or gardening or tailoring. And one of the trades was music. Back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, they could earn a living by being a jazz musician because tourists would come to Kingston to hear the music that was popular in the 40s. It was the big band jazz orchestras. And so she saw, Sister Ignatia saw, that they could learn to play a horn, then they could have a job throughout their life that would feed their family. And so she obtained instruments through the Archdiocese. She hired band leaders that were top-notch, that had been and studied. You have to understand, Jamaica was colonized by Britain until 1962, and so she would bring musicians who had trained at the Royal Hall in England, and so they were learning classical music. It was a very rigid education in music. And so by the time they left, these musicians were highly sought after by the big band leaders, and so they could gain employment, and it was very professional. Jamaica was also segregated in these days, too, so the black musicians would have to come through the back entrance of many of these clubs to play for all white patrons who were wealthy, who were tourists, barristers, things of that nature. So it was a very
just like in this country
time.
With the cotton club.
Absolutely.
Same thing.
Exactly. And like the Chitlin Circuit and all that. Absolutely. So this was then the music, though, that they knew, they were playing jazz standards, so kind of cover songs. But at night, a number of them, after they would play in the clubs, would go to the Warika Hills, where the Rasta clubs were, and this was in the 50s, so this was like the kind of the early days, and, you know, the Rastas were definitely, oppressed by society, by the police. So they would seek refuge in the Warika Hills, and they started to develop their own music by blending the jazz that they learned from Sister Iggy and the clubs with the buru drumming of the Rastafari brethren who gathered in the hills. And so that then became kind of a blend that also was influenced by American rhythm and blues, you know, like Sam Cooke and Roscoe Gordon and all these guys. They're hearing this music from America because they can pick it up on their radio station. And then there's also indigenous mento music, which is very similar to calypso in many ways. And so all of that blends in the hills when they're just free form playing music and they're communing with one another. And that really becomes the basis of ska music, rock steady, and later reggae. So without Sister Ignatius, I mean, one could easily argue that we might not have reggae or Bob Marley. So is that influential?
Yeah, I mean, really. And I did not realize that until I read your book. And also the fact that she would actually pick up instruments and play.
Yes.
And would also play
right.
Soccer, would box.
Yep. Yeah, she was a bit of a tomboy. And she loved her boys so deeply that, I mean, she was light-skinned, but she was like Guyanese and white. And so she was a Jamaican blend, you know, she was really Jamaican, but
right.
but light skin, essentially what we would consider white, but all of these boys considered her, this white woman, their mother. They called her mom, and they would keep in touch with her for the rest of their lives. And So, I mean, she loved them so deeply. And so when she wanted to teach them how to box, she put on a pair of gloves. And she wouldn't pull back. She was a tomboy. When she wanted to teach them to play saxophone, she would pick up a saxophone. She played cricket. I mean, she was pretty badass.
I'm surprised. You know, so. Maybe there has been one, but there needs to be a documentary or a movie about her. Because, I mean, her story is incredible.
We're working on that.
We're working on that.
We'll put it that way.
We have to get you back on here. Let's say next year, get you back on to talk about that one.
No, that sounds good. That sounds good.
But
got to
tell me, you know, tell my listeners about some of the folks that were in, you know, at the school. Because these are, for those of you who know reggae, you know the music, you'll know some of these names. Some of you will learn these names for the first time, but mention some of these folks.
Okay, so a number of members of the Scatolites. So we've got Lester Sterling, and his brother went there as well. We've got Don Drummond, who was the premier trombonist. I wrote a biography of him because his life was pretty tragic. He suffered from mental illness, and there was he ended up murdering his girlfriend. But he was a genius trombonist, and he went to school there, and he left in 1950, and he was very, very close with Sister Ignatius. Then we have Tommy McCook, who led the Scatolites, because the Scatolites then were known as Tommy McCook and the Scatolites. So he left, I think, in about 1943, but he was he and Don Drummond were really the kind of the backbone of the Scatolites. And the Scatolites backed up a number of musicians in the studio. So at Studio One or at Treasure Isle, Prince Buster's Voice of the People, they would back up many of the artists. So Bob Marley on his very first recordings on Judge Not, One Cup of Coffee, that's the Scatolites playing the music back up there. So without the Alpha Boys and the Alpha Boys School, you see, could Bob Marley have done what he did?
That's right. And my listeners may not realize this. That Bob Marley, when he started out, he was kind of, his group was kind of like a Temptations four top.
Exactly.
Type
the
of
Impressions.
Group.
Yeah. Exactly. Kind of like the Impressions, like a Curtis Mayfield kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, and they were backed up by the Scatolites. And, you know, so he was ska. At first, he was ska when you listen to that early stuff. But there are so many musicians that came through Alpha that were brought under the tutelage of Sister Ignatius. So like as far back as like Bertie King, who was a very, very famous jazz musician in Jamaica, and he led his own orchestra. But there were like Johnny Dizzy Moore, he was also with the Scatolites, trumpeter. I mean, and then, you know, even in the modern era, your listeners might be more familiar with somebody like a Johnny Osborne or Tony Gregory, Yellow Man. You know, the dub artist, Apple Gabriel, who just died a few months ago, not of COVID, but during the COVID era, Apple Gabriel, you know, he was certainly a Cedric I Am Brooks.
Right.
There's just so many
so many of these folks.
I wrote with a co-author, I actually wrote a book on all those musicians at Alpha, too, because it's really astounding. You know, it's what we call the cradle of Jamaican music.
I mean, it's really something, Heather. And listeners, you can join in the conversation, 563-999-3479. But I want y'all dancing. And you're probably saying, we're not playing any music yet. I'm about to, and I'm talking with Heather Augustine, the author of the great book, Women in Jamaican Music on McFarland Press. Now, you mentioned Don Drummond, and I wanted to start this off with the Queen of Rumba, because it's a sad story, and I want you to, you know, talk a little bit about her, and I'm going to play a cut of hers, Woman a Come.
Right, and this song she wrote the lyrics to. I actually have a copy of the original hanging on my wall.
Oh, wow.
She's kind of my muse. But this is the Baba Brooks band that's backing her up. Many of the members of the Scatolites.
Oh, we didn't even say her name. Oh, you can say her name, too. I didn't even say her name.
Margarita is her rumba name, her stage name. But her real name was Anita Mahfood, Mahfood. And she was a rumba dancer that was, you know, meant to attract crowds. That was common then in the 50s and the 60s, the, you know, first half of the 1960s. And so she would be the kind of the attraction and the band would play. So what ended up happening is she was one of the artists who would commune in the Warrika Hills after the clubs had closed. And she became very close with many of the brethren in the hills, including Don Drummond, which is how the two of them ended up together, tragically. But she refused to dance at some of these clubs unless they allowed the drummers from the Warrika Hills, which was Count Ossie and his group of drummers. She refused to dance unless they played. Now, this was a big, big deal because they were ostracized. They were oppressed. They were Rastafari. So they were not allowed to be in these upper class clubs. And she said,
right,
if they don't play, I don't play. And so that's how she was able to kind of cross the class divide by bringing this, you know, African sound to the upper classes. And so we really owe her a great debt because she was able to, I think, kind of introduce the Rasta sound, which, as we know, later became reggae.
That's it. So let's hear right now Margarita and Woman I Come on the Root and Root Show.
Ayata, your daughter, from Venturian border, I come. Sound, ungo malungo man, ungo Monaco.
All right, that was Margarita, Woman, I Come. And I'm interviewing right now Heather Augustine, author of the great book, Women in Jamaican Music. And I just love that. That is something.
You know, every time I listen to these songs, I hear something different, you know, that I've never noticed before. But to me, when I listen to that song, some people describe it as, you know, kind of off key or kind of strange. And here's my thought. It's really that she's singing one song and the band is kind of playing another song, and I don't think they're following her chord changes personally.
So.
But
they're not. That's what makes her so good.
But, I know.
It's two different worlds.
Exactly. And that really does describe Margarita so well. She really did live in two different worlds. She was an upper class girl, middle upper class. Her father was a fish market owner, but a business person. She was Lebanese, and then she left that world really to go live with the Rasta brethren in the hills, in the Warwicka Hills, and she really led kind of a very sad life because she ended up, like I said before, being murdered by Don Drummond. She was stabbed to death. So it was a very sad story. But luckily we still have her voice, we still have her music, and she certainly influenced these musicians, that's for sure.
Are there any videos of her?
There are. There is one video of her, and it's from 1955. It was a very short film that was made. This is going to sound strange, but it was an educational film to warn the Jamaican population of the dangers of syphilis. And so it was one of those like newsreels. And they had staged a scene of a club, a nightclub, you know, where people are, you know, being carefree and letting their inhibitions go to the wind. And she is a rumba dancer that is featured, you know, as the entertainment in the club. And so we have about, you know, I don't know, maybe 15 seconds of her dancing in a rumba costume that she made herself. She sewed her own costume, and she was self-taught. And so it's really, I think, a glimpse of the spirit that once was.
That's something, because, yeah, listening to her sing, I was thinking the whole time, like, you have to see her dancing to really get into it. I was imagining
sounds... That sounds like a euphemism for she's. But you know what? I don't think I'm listening to her, and she's not off. Here's one perspective. No. She's not off key. The band is.
They are.
So,
they definitely are.
Because she's singing a whole different song.
He definitely is. But the next person, this is where I first learned as a kid, 10 years old, as I learned about ska music. I didn't know what it was then. I didn't hear the name ska until I got to college in the 70s, but this is the first ska song I ever heard. And until I read your book, I didn't realize that this was called, I think, Blue Beat back then. And the minute
in
I played
England.
It, a lot of folks will, people will know this song, and they hear it immediately because they use it in commercials still. It's around still. Oldies of...
You're right.
Radio show everywhere. You'll hear this song, and I'm talking about My Boy Lollipop by Millie Small. And I'm going to play that right now, and we'll get back, and you can tell us about Millie. So let's hear My Boy Lollipop by Millie Small.
I love you.
for some of you listeners out there that are younger, that song in 64 was a worldwide giant hit. That thing threw everyone off. I'm in elementary school, and I remember our class in Washington, D.C., just excited about this song when friends of mine, we first heard that thing. Like, what is, because the beat was, we had never heard that beat before. We had never heard
it's
that.
Catchy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is. And it's still around. But talk a little bit about Millie Small, because I didn't know how, what she did after that song, because you really don't hear much about her in this country. But, talk a little about her.
No. Yeah, so she was born in a really tiny little village, essentially, near Milk River. And so she was just, she came from poverty, really, a very poor family. But she could sing, and she entered into a talent show that was really popular in Kingston, called the Veer Johns Opportunity Hour. And it was kind of like, like one of these reality shows that kind of launches people's music careers. If the public votes them like number one, then they are the champion and they get like a cash prize. Well, she ended up doing that and got the attention of Cox and Dodd, who ran Studio One. And so he recorded her, and she started recording, as was popular in those days, as part of a duet. And so Cox and Dodd would pair her with a number of prominent male voices, like Roy Panton and Owen Gray, and she became kind of a duet singer. And so then one of her songs that she sang with Roy Panton, called "We'll Meet," became pretty popular, and it caught the ear of in England, who was in England at the time, Chris Blackwell. Now this guy went on to produce Bob Marley. He was the one that put Bob Marley really kind of on the world map. And then of course he, went on to produce U2 and big bands like that. But she was really his first big sensation. He heard that song, "We'll Meet," and he said, "I love the sound of this girl's voice." And I say girl because she was 16. She was 16 at the time. And so he said, he told two of his partners back in Kingston, where he had once lived and done business, "Get this girl up here to London. I'm going to make her hit." And so they had to go through all kinds of things in order to get her a passport and permission from her parents in order to get her up to London. But they did, and that's when he had her record another song first. But then he had her record "My Boy Lollipop," which had previously been a hit for Barbie Gay. So
which I didn't know until I read this book. I thought this was an original song. And I was surprised when I read the book. I said, "What?" Nope. And I looked it up. I said, Barbie Gay.
Yeah, and it really didn't do much for Barbie Gay. But I think, Millie's voice is really distinctive. It's effervescent. It's bubbly. And so it just became this huge immediately. And so she, like you said, it was popular all over the world. She started touring. She came to the United States. When she came back to Jamaica later in 1964, the airport, I guess, was just absolutely swarmed with fans. It was second to when Haile Selassie came in 66, but apparently a big deal, and there were parades for her, big events for her. The prime minister came and presented her with, awards of appreciation, and a film crew came to film her. And I mean, it was just, she really helped put Jamaica on the map, and she really helped put Jamaica music on the map, because that song, "My Boy Lollipop," was covered by everybody. I mean, even in, Mexico in Europe, Eastern Europe. I mean, everybody was covering this song.
And I can tell you this because I you may not know this. I don't think you know this, Heather, but I've been living for the past 3 years. I'm here in the States briefly, but I've been living in Thailand, and I've heard the song. I've gone to reggae clubs, Thailand, Laos, and you will hear ska. You'll hear, you know, at these reggae clubs, everything.
Yeah.
And every now and then you'll hear this, and you'll hear sometimes a Thai person, someone in Laos, trying to sing a song. That's how big.
She was really something. I mean, and then a couple years after that, she toured. You know, she continued to record, but none of the songs became as popular as that one. But she toured, you know, New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, Kenya, Uganda, Ghana, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, everywhere. And then she continued to record in 69, in 70, she continued to record a little bit, but none of the songs had that kind of an impact as that song did and still does.
It does. It certainly does. I mean, that song is incredible. And it's just just reading about her, not knowing that, because I just thought she did the song, did a little tour in this country, in Britain, and that was it. But she had a long career.
She lived the rest of her days out in London. We lost her, unfortunately, on May 5th. She passed away on May 5th of just this year. And in fact, Tuesday would have been, this coming Tuesday would have been her 74th birthday. So,
wow.
But she, boy, did she make her mark on this world, I'll tell you.
She certainly did. We're going to get to another person here. By the way, listeners, I'm talking with Heather Augustine, the author of this book, Women in Jamaican Music. And one thing I'm glad you said at the intro of your book, you mentioned the fact that there is probably, you're quoting someone else, saying there may be like 500 books about Bob Marley.
Right,
but
right.
As far
yeah,
as
Roger
the women
Steffens
in,
told me that.
Yes. But as far as women in Jamaican music, there's really nothing, there really wasn't anything out there. You see these little brief little bios and other books or something,
right.
But nothing extensive like this. And
right,
as you say
and
there's, book,
it's
I mean,
not for a lack of women. There's plenty
right,
of women that did big things. Yeah.
That's it. And we're going to get to one of them right now. And some of my listeners may not know Doreen Schaefer, and she's with the Scatterlights. Mm. And talk a little bit about Doreen
That's
before
right.
I play this song.
Sure. Well, Doreen, you know, Doreen still tours today, pre-COVID. She still tours with them, and she is one of the very original members of the Scatterlights. But people don't really give her credit because
I
guess she's a vocalist, not because she's, I don't know. I don't want to make assumptions, but she is the last living member of the Scatterlights that still tours with them.
Man.
We do have, she's pretty amazing. And her, she was born Monica
how
Schaefer.
Old is she?
But her,
how old is she?
She won't tell you.
Oh.
She wouldn't tell me. She wouldn't tell me when she was born or anything. So, but, you know, I would estimate maybe mid to upper 70s. But she, yeah, she won't. No way. Mm-mm, you don't ask this lady her age. So,
no.
But she recorded as a vocalist through really all eras. She did ska, rock steady, reggae. And when the Scatterlights came, a number of the members of them had moved up to New York. She went to go see them in like 1992 or 93, in the early 90s. She went to go see them in New York, and they said, you've got to come on tour with us. So she's been with them ever since the early 90s again. But before that, she was doing a lot of her own solo work. So it was, the Scatterlights hadn't been around as a band. A group for a number of years. So that's why she wasn't with them. But, you know, they would play sporadically, maybe like in, you know, in 83, they played at the Sunsplash Festival, and she was part of that and part of that reunion. But in the early 90s is when they got back together with, you know, Roland Alfonso and Lloyd Nibb and Lloyd Brevet and Lester Sterling and Tommy McCook and Doreen Schaefer. So she sings a number of songs with them when you go. I've seen her at least a half a dozen times, and she does all the classics. Back in the day.
Yeah, I'm going to play her with the group When I Fall in Love. So let's hear this on the Root and Root
nice
Show.
Nice one.
All right, thanks.
When I fall in love, it will be forever, 'cause I'll never ever fall in love again. When I fall in love, there will be no other, only you and me in this whole wide world. If I should fall in love again, to me it would be a pleasure, if it don't take all my pleasures away. Fall in love, there will be no other. I'll never ever fall in love again.
When I Fall in Love, I almost didn't turn the mic on because I was getting into it too much. You know, I mean, that's a nice one.
Really, just yeah, her voice is incredible, isn't it? It's just so warm, and that's how she is too. She's just a really warm, sweet woman.
It comes across in the music. You can tell that. And now, you know, we're going from very nice, kind of wholesome music, because a lot of people, you know, who are not really into reggae, not into Jamaican music or anything, when they do hear it, they'll say, well, that's a little too raunchy for me. You know, and it's not. But there are some folks, you know, who have been known to play some, you know, do some songs that are a little, you know, they're very sexist and very just, you know, crazy, like, you know, Buju Banton, Chaba Rankin during his day, and some other folks. But, and this is why I'm glad you put this in your book, because this artist I'm about to play, we're gonna, you know, and then you'll talk about her. She was doing the same thing that those artists, those male artists, were doing, and she was being attacked. And who I'm talking about is the queen of the dance hall, the queen of the wine too, the one and only Lady Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard it, I used to tell friends of mine, they would always talk about, and for some of you listeners who may not have heard of Lady Saul, who's now into gospel music, by the way, but
right.
Lady Saul is like Millie Jackson was in her glory. Or like right now with Cardi B and some of the stuff she's throwing out. But Lady Saul, she's got much more talent than some of these folks, I tell you. But I'm going to play right now, and then we'll talk about it when I come back here. Let's play Lady Saul, Stab Up the Meat. And I hope they don't throw me off the stage. Well, I've played worse on here, but let's play that right now. A little Lady Saul, for some of you never heard of it. Let's hear it right now.
Worldwide, you see, if I have good fuck, man, you know, big up, you know, hood, call me Katash, they are weird, you know, man, half the ear, me one, you know, Link, watch this, man, stop on me meat, man, watch this, me hear you can grind good and you can fuck sweet, stop on me meat, stop on me meat, the big hood where you have a mad girl out to straight, stop on me meat, watch up, you old time got them, see, don't buy your name, say the fuck where you give them, bring your you want feel it too, so just grind it. Me no care how you treat, just deal with me too. If me get grief, me no go mention your name. Just leave work alone and then me gamble me ways. Because you can grind good and you can fuck sweat. Stab on me meat, stab on me meat. The big food where you have a mad girl out to straight. Stab on me meat. What you have me sit down and do, baby? Why is this? Let me tell you this. You have me sit down a long time, me a stab. Now give me no fuck and gana girl, yeah. But you see tonight, me want it stiffer. Me no care how you treat, just tear up me dress. Over me push it, them a said what's that good. Fear this time, me want this Stephen add. Because you can grind good and you can fuck straight. Stab on me meat, stab on me meat. The big food where you have a mad girl out to straight. Stab on me meat. But you see here this boy, them a beg fuck and want some. For we tell them say, I'll do funny things if you want me to. But I won't suck it. Me tell him to keep him strong, mad thinking self. You know, watch this again. Me tell him, quote me anyway. Me and put on the boat. Just if fuck alone, it will suit me enough. But I'll do funny things if you want me to. But I won't suck it. When me say the fur burger thing, you know, inna, you hear me? Watch it. Put me anyway. Fuck me on the floor. But me not go near me. That's why me tell the article. Fuck a boy, them say. Watch this. Me hear you can grind good and you can fuck sweet. Talk about me, meat. Talk about me, meat. The big food where you have a man. You old time girl, them see don't tell you me. Say the fuck where you give them bring dry and feel. You want feel it, so just grind me to you. Me no care how you treat, just deal with me to you. If me get free, me no go mention your name. Just the fuck alone and then me gamble me ways. Because you can grind good and you can fuck sweat. Stab up me meat, dig up me meat. The big food where you have a man girl out to straight. Stab up me meat, watch it. You have me see don't a long time me a stab. Now give me no fuck and gana girl. Stop. You see tonight me want this Stephen ad. Whoever me pussy them a set watch their boat. Me a this time me want this Stephen ad. Because you can grind good and you can fuck sweat. Stab up me meat. Stab up me meat. The deep food where you have a mad girl out to straight. Stab up me meat. Watch this stop. All the stuff each of them when we tell them say. We tell them I'll do funny things if you want me to. But I won't suck it. Keep your tongue back thing and you're licking things to yourself boy. If you fuck me and put on the boat, just the fuck alone, it will suit me enough. Cause I'll do funny things if you want me to. But I won't suck it. Watch this again, no man. Freak! Me tell them, me you can grind good and you can fuck sweat. Stab on me meat. Stab on me meat. The big food where you have a man, you're not straight.
Stab on me meat. Okay, now will probably be my last show here on KUHS, but I enjoyed the 10 years of being. But anyway, that's the one and only Lady Saul, and Heather, tell my listeners a little about. We won't translate some of the stuff she was saying, but
no.
I think you can guess.
No, yes.
But talk about Lady Saul,
yes,
and her, the whole thing about the reggae music in particular, dance hall, and how the males can get away with this stuff. But even now today, because that song is like, I think, the late 80s or 90s, but even today, they can still get away with stuff that the women can't get away with. So talk a little bit about her.
Right. Well, I mean, it's easy for me to, like, you know, kind of sit here and play, like, armchair, you know, referee and, like, say, you know, this is something that, you know, the culture maybe was responsible for. But I think that the Jamaican culture is a little bit more sexist than ours. And so I think that there are a number of women who have written about this really well. And Donna Hope and Carolyn Cooper and Sonia Stanley Naya, they talk a lot about this, about feminism and masculinity in dance hall. And they kind of, they're really, really good at discussing why that the culture, you know, kind of produced these particular artists and that they were interpreted the way that they were. But I will say that, you know, there were artists, male artists, like you had mentioned before, like Buju Banton, and, you know, there were others like Terror Fabulous and Spraga Benz, who really were able to get away with so much. And even if you go as far back as Mento and take a look at, like, Alerth Badass, I mean, he came out with a Mento song called Night Food. I will leave it at that. You know, it was X-rated, a lot of Mento music, very X-rated, but it's kind of, you know, it's couched in innuendo. Lady Saw is not innuendo. And, you know, Buju Banton is not innuendo. So you can't really, it's not playful, and it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's playful, but it's not, it's pretty straightforward. So
right.
There were a number of male journalists, older, who really took offense to her lyrics, which were tame in comparison to some of the men. So there really was this double standard. I guess that female sexuality was supposed to be hidden. It was not supposed to be, you know, put on display. But for a male to do that, that was seen as prowess, and boasting is you know, kind of part of that image. But I mean, Lady Saw really did, I think, kind of help power a lot of women by her, you know, I mean, many, many women have cited her as being one of their influences, women artists. And she definitely, you know, collaborated with a lot of women too, like, you know, Gwen Stefani and No Doubt. And there's, I mean, a number of, like, Missy Elliott and stuff she's recorded with her. And but so it's, and she did realize too that she didn't want to be irresponsible with what she was doing. So she led a lot of, like, safe sex campaigns and like,
right,
women's, you know, women's health campaigns. So she really did, I think, a lot of good. It wasn't done without a sense of responsibility to what she was putting out there. We'll leave it at that, yeah.
Yeah, and I've always liked Lady Saw. I really think she's
mm-hmm.
very underrated. You know, just, you know,
yeah.
And again, a lot of folks in this country really don't know her unless they listen to someone like a Missy Elliott or No Doubt or something.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
really don't know her. And if they did hear some of their songs, they probably didn't even know who she was on there.
Yeah.
You know, but
I mean, she's a DJ.
Yep. Yeah. She is just mm-hmm. something else. And the thing, you know, something else that you don't really get into in the book in a sense, but talking about the males, there's one other thing in Jamaican music. I don't think it's prominent like it was in the 80s, early 90s, but there was this whole thing about, you know, just bragging about murders. That's someone, you know, just.
Right. Well,
I mean,
yeah,
that's a whole genre.
Right, yeah, definitely. And then also a lot of homophobia as well.
Right.
There's been, a bit of that, and I think that it's not really, luckily it's not that celebrated anymore, but, I mean, it is still present. I mean, like, Ninja Man and Vibes Cartel, it's still, I think, part of it, but I'm not sure. I know, like I said, that the women who study dance hall more in depth could probably talk a lot about that, because I think some of that does go with the masculinity, you know, the culture
right.
masculinity in the dance hall too. So,
well, Heather, I just want to, I'm just happy that you wrote this book. You know, women in Jamaican music, and again, it's, you know, Heather Augustine is on McFarland Press, and if anyone wants to reach you or contact you further, because I could
sure.
do this show, I could do this with another. I mean, I could do a series of shows on reggae music. In fact, I'm really considering changing
Good.
The format of my show when I get back to Asia to maybe just a straight reggae show, because we don't have that on KUHF, and I'm really giving some thought to that. And your book is trying to get me in that way. Because there
well,
are a number
I'm
of reggae
glad to
groups.
Hear that.
Yeah. There's a number of reggae groups, like I was saying earlier, who I have some of their recordings. T-Bone is like the biggest one in Thailand. And they are, you know, it's big, you know, all over Asia. So if anyone wants to reach you, how can they do that? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I have a website where I have, I'm not kidding you, probably like 3 years worth of blog posts. Where I would blog once a week on anything that would kind of pique my interest. Like if I would hear a lyric, I would say, well, I wonder what that means. Anyway, I would just go down the rabbit hole and investigate it and research it and find archival, you know, newspapers. So there's plenty of material like that. There's also information in my books, information on me. And the website is skabook.com. So S-K-A-B-O-O-K, skabook.com. You can also, I don't mind putting my email address out there. If anybody would like to email me, I'd love to hear from people and hear how my work has, hopefully, this is the goal of my work, is to spark and inspire other people for whatever your creative interests are and whatever your passion is. Maybe it's just to listen to the music. Maybe it's to create music. Maybe it's to create other art. Email me. I would love to talk to you about it. My email address is H. And then my last name, which is Augustine, but it's spelled like the month of August, AUGUSTYN, as in yes, no, at yahoo.com. So I would love
All
to keep
right.
this conversation going. So just, you know, email me and let's keep talking.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back on here. I want you to talk about this last artist I'm going to play, because I got so much music queued up, but I got a time limit on the show today, so... and everyone knows this song, everyone knows. You know, some people might hear this and say, oh, I didn't know that was, you know, that's a reggae song. I didn't know what that was. Talk about Marsha Griffiths and her legacy as far as in Jamaican music and because she's a very, all of these women are important, but she's very important.
She is, yeah. And, you know, in Jamaica they say, I had to learn this. But in Jamaica, they say her name Marcia.
Marcia.
It's not Marcia.
Okay.
Marcia. I had this
that makes sense.
Friend had to teach me how to say it, and she was laughing at me because I couldn't say it right. I kept saying Marcia. But anyway, she was one of the backup members. First of all, before she was even – I'm jumping on myself here. Before she was even a backup singer, she was part of a duo of Bob Andy and Marcia Griffiths. So she was, Bob Andy was her duet partner. And they performed for a number of years, and then she became, she was a solo artist too, but she became one of the backup women for Bob Marley, better known as the I-3s. So when Bob Marley and the Wailers, you know, broke up and the, you know, Peter Tosh went his direction and Bunny Livingston went his direction. And Bob then put together the the group with the three women singers in the background. You've probably seen loads of footage of them. One of those members is Marcia Griffiths. And so
That's
she
right.
became, she toured with them, and she had a baby, a one-year-old baby, but she would keep touring with them with the baby on tour as well, and everybody just embraced the child and helped to raise the child. And so she really, I think, was quite astounding in that she was able to have a career and a family at the same time. But I know what you're going to play, and this is what
yeah.
she's famous for, which, you know, is it's a good song, but it's not, you know,
it's
if
not
I
her.
Were your listeners, I would go and I would do a little bit of a dive into her music because she's so talented.
Yeah.
And she still performs. She does. She still
yeah.
performs.
This isn't, you know, and I don't want to say unfortunately, but this is her legacy. But like you're saying, she's got
it
great
is.
Music out there. But I want to, you know, I'm
yes.
playing this because the listeners will know this song and they probably have danced to it and will probably get up and dance to it right now. And I'm talking about the
right.
one and only Electric Boogie, also known as Electric Sly. So, Heather, I just want to thank you again for being on the Root and Root Show. I'm going to have you
well,
on again.
You,
you know, and just, you
oh,
know, stay safe.
Great.
Stay. Yeah, thank you so much. And a great book. But
oh,
let me
my
play.
Pleasure.
Thank you again, Heather. You take care. I'll be talking to you later. Take care and be safe.
All right, Greg. You too.
All right. And we're going to play right now. Here it comes, the Electric Boogie, a.k.a. the Electric Slide, Marcia Griffiths, on the Root and Root Show.
It's electric! She's a moving line. She's a moving line.
heard that no matter where you are in the world. That was Marcia Griffiths and Electric Boogie, also known as the Electric Slide. Yes, it's played everywhere. That song is over, that is like over four, it's almost 40 years old. They still play it. Although now, because of the pandemic, I don't know if they're, people are doing Electric Slide, and that's in their own homes or something. Maybe you're doing it now as you listen to this show. But again, I just want to, I'm going to play something before I go out here. I'm going to play a new, because we were playing, you know, I was playing a lot of older music just to get you an idea of, you know, the history of, you know, women in Jamaican music, and there's so much music that I can play. But I'm going to play this new one before I get out of here. This is Nadine Sutherland, and I just got this. This is Chatty Chatty. So let's hear this on the Root and Roots Show. Chatting on this show, but we also play music. We have a good time over here all the time on the Root and Root Show, and I'm getting ready to get out of here. It's Greg Rashid, and I want to thank again Heather Augustine for being on today, the author of the excellent book Women in Jamaican Music on McFarland Press. And it's just like, you can, like I said, we could do a series of shows with this book. So many artists we didn't cover, so many out there, older ones, newer ones, that, you know, that I'm gonna have Heather back on here. But anyway, this is Greg Rashid again. And again, as I always say, go in love and go in peace. And please, if you can help someone in need right now during this pandemic, be it a senior in your neighborhood who needs you to get groceries, or, you know, mow a lawn, or cut, you know, or rake leaves, shovel snow, wherever you are in this world, if you can do that, and especially if you can help a child who doesn't have a laptop, doesn't have a computer, and needs that to continue their education, if you can help buy them one, if you have an extra one to give, if you can help them with Wi-Fi in their home, if they don't have that, that would be greatly appreciated. Because we got to all help each other now. You know, we can, you know, everyone in the world, this is something we can say, all of us are involved in this, whether we want to admit it or not. No matter what party you're in or wherever you are in this world, we're all caught up in this pandemic. So we got to help each other, keep things going and show the love. Like the majority of the songs in about reggae, all Jamaican music about love. As Bob Marley said, one love, and that's what we all are, one love. But again, it's Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Root and Root Show. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time. And remember, spread the knowledge, share the power.